Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Steve Benny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report and has become one of my newer favorite guests on our website when it comes to analysis in the precious metals sector, especially breaking down the charts. And Steve, we're going to start with silver because, look, silver, as encouraging as it was for precious metals investors, because silver was outperforming gold for a lot of that correction that gold had and also starting to lead upward when gold rebounded. Fact of the matter is, silver's been pretty boring now. Everyone's pointing to that 80 or 2850 level, but silver hasn't been able to break above it. And again, just keeps on moving sideways. You shared with us before we recorded this a silver 1 year daily chart. I'll post that below this interview along with a gold chart that we'll get to in a little bit. First and foremost, silver, do we need to look at anything other, Steve, than that 2850 level?
Well, yeah, you summarized it perfectly in that we've just been in this big giant trading range sideways for several months now. And this is actually typical after you have a really nice run up like we did in 2020, where silver went from down around 12 bucks up to near 30. That's a really nice run. And consolidations, as your listeners know, can happen one of two ways. We can see price decline, or you can just see a sideways grind. And that tends to wear out longer term investors. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. So zeroing in here on the short term chart, last Thursday, we broke down from support. We had been rising within the confines of this very well-defined two-month uptrend channel. And then last Thursday, the ADP jobs report came out better than expected. That caused the dollar to rise, silver to fall, and we lost support. Well, then on Friday, the BLS jobs data came out, and it was actually worse than expected, so silver rallied. But to me, so far, it looks like we're speaking here on Monday. The rally is encouraging, but we're just backtesting what was support as resistance. So if you were to, you'll see it in the chart below in the comments, but right now we're just backtesting resistance. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of more consolidation here, maybe a little bit of weakness for the next few weeks. But I do personally view that as an opportunity if we do see that.
So in this chart, you also show strong support down in the 26 to 2675 region. That is really just in the middle of this trading range again. Is that where you see that near-term stopping point being? It is a 200-day moving average.
Yeah, I think so. And personally, I would love to see a pullback because I think that would present some really compelling long-term entry points and even some trading opportunities for short-term trades. But yeah, the initial support there is 2675. That was the swing high back on 18th of March. And then you've got the 50-day moving average, which is currently at 2660, and then the 200-day, which is 2585, and that's pretty flat. So that's a really strong confluence of support, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see us pull back towards that area. And to be honest, I'm kind of hoping for it.
What if that area breaks? Is there a downside risk here? Because really, just a pullback to 26 and change, that's not much of a pullback. It's right in the middle part of that range. Obviously, that's bullish, but if we break below that, does that turn you more bearish?
Well, from a long-term perspective, it would not. But for that would certainly inflict some technical damage on the charts if we lost that $26 support or the 200-day moving average. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't expect that to happen. I mean, just from a statistical perspective, it's very common. Once you get a breakout above the 200-day moving average, you come back and backtest it as support, and that often provides really good entry points. But yeah, that would change the look of the chart if $26 support were to fail. I don't expect that, but anything is possible.
Okay, Steve. Well, shifting from silver over to gold, you know, we had the 7 to 8 month pullback from August down to March, where we then double bottomed around the 1675 level. And we've had a couple good months. April and May were positive for the precious metals. Gold has added a couple $100. It's been a nice move. So the question in a lot of people's minds now is, where may we hit, you know, resistance? Is this going to continue and extend to a further move to the upside? Or do you expect this to cool off here? What are some resistance levels you're looking at on the charts?
Yeah, you described that perfectly. Gold, we had that double bottom at 1675. The bottom was on 31 March. So for the months of April and May, we rose almost just a little bit over $200. And RSI got a little bit stretched. We'd move pretty far, pretty fast. But we did break through the upper rail of that eight-month downtrend channel. We broke through the 200-day moving average. And now we're pulling back just a little bit and backtesting initial support. So I really like the look of this chart. And it looks to me like we have a confirmed trend reversal. So going forward, I firmly expect higher highs and higher lows. but of course nothing goes straight up. So a little bit of backing and filling down here near these current levels would not be surprising at all, and that's what I'm looking for.
I just have to ask, just because it's on my mind, you know, are you worried at all that after such a nice move so fast that it actually may peter out the move? Is there any risk to the downside for investors where we may see kind of a sluggish period here in June or July and, you know, kind of take the steam out of the balloon that was just starting to inflate again after a rough early part of the year? Are you expecting it just to kind of keep trending higher, or are you worried that we could have a sluggish period here and slow down?
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I mean, you said, is there any downside risk? It's important to know there's always downside risk. I mean, it's easy for us gold bugs to, you know, always look at the upside. There's always the risk of a sharp pullback that could happen at any moment. But I'm convinced over the long term, gold and silver are going higher for fundamental reasons. And then looking at the charts, technically, the path of least resistance is higher highs and higher lows. We just talked about the support. You asked me about resistance, and I didn't answer your question there. So the initial resistance is 1920. That's where we peaked out last week. 1920 is also the previous all-time high that we made back in 2011. So there's decent resistance right there at 1920. And then the next one is 1960. We formed a double top on the chart right at 1960 back in November and again in January. So getting through 1960 might take a little bit of a couple of tries. And then, of course, the big number is $2,089. That's the all-time high set back in August. So 1920, 1960, and 2089. Those are the three resistance levels I'm watching.
All right. And those are outlined in that chart. And you know what? It is at least encouraging for the gold bugs that we are continuing to move higher here and testing some of these recent support levels, or I guess still resistance levels right now on the upside. Steve, what about looking at other markets in terms of a barometer for how the precious metals could move? I know you look at a lot of analogs, but give us maybe some insights into what other markets are critical to watch here for future direction of the precious metals.
Yeah, so one thing I'm looking at is the rotation from momentum stocks into more value-oriented sectors. And we've seen that for the last over 2 months now. Gold has actually outperformed the S&P 500, or excuse me, the Dow Jones, for 8 of the last 9 weeks. So that's really encouraging. Currently, the Dow Jones is roughly somewhere about 20 times more, you know, priced 20 times higher than the price of gold. Well, at the peak of gold bull markets, that ratio typically peaks around 1-to-1. So over the longer term, I'm looking for gold to outperform general equities. So that's one thing I track. And then, of course, I always look at nominal interest rates, specifically the 10-year yield. And we've kind of just been grinding sideways right about 1.6% on the 10-year. The inverse correlation between nominal rates and gold is kind of broken a little bit in the last few weeks. And I think that's going to continue as investors see inflation not so much as transitory, but as a trend that's going to be with us for a while.
Steve, are we in the middle here, or do you think we're going to be in the middle here of kind of summer doldrums, when typically, I know seasonality isn't, some people don't like to talk about it. Fair enough, it can ebb and flow, but this year, do you see the summer just broadly being slow for the precious metals?
Well, it's hard to tell. I don't put much weight in seasonality, but it is something I track. So it's noteworthy that June is typically the weakest month of the year for silver. I believe that holds true for gold as well. And that kind of coincides with what I'm seeing in the chart, is that we could be due for a little bit of pullback, some consolidation here. But, you know, as far as late in the summer, August, maybe late July, I think that's probably when we start really taking out some of these resistance levels and testing the all-time highs, perhaps in the fall in gold at least.
Well, Steve, of course we want to track the moves in the metals, but there's a lot of folks on our site that are curious about the mining stocks, you know, the gold miners and the silver miners. They have done okay, and we've seen some moves higher in the senior producers and some of the royalty companies the last couple months, but a lot of the moves in the juniors, like the true junior miners that are smaller cap stocks, haven't really kept up with the metals price. Do you see that changing? I know you look at a lot of ratios. Do you see the miners playing a little catch up regardless of what happens in the metal prices?
I do. So first of all, I'll just mention that this is really encouraging here, that we saw GDX break out first. That's the senior gold miners. And that's very common in a bull market, where the big money piles into the large cap gold names first, then the more speculative components of the sector follow suit. And that's exactly what we're seeing. GDX broke out first, followed by GDXJ. And then even last month on the monthly candle for May, SILJ popped above its long-term resistance. So we're seeing the breakouts come in the sequence that you want to see. And you mentioned that some of the more speculative names haven't pulled back as much. You know, I don't see them as like, you know, deeply oversold or anything right now. But I do like what I'm seeing as far as the sequence of the breakouts. And I think, you know, it's a trend that we're going to see continue.
All right, Steve, we'll wrap it up here. Again, watching some of the levels that, in all fairness, we've been watching here for a little while for, especially silver. Gold has been more encouraging, breaking out of that 1900, but now it's hanging right in around that level. But hey, it took a little while to break through that, so it can be expected that it takes a little while to finally push through that and solidify above there. Overall, check out those charts below, everyone, and share with us all your thoughts. Feel free to email me any questions you have for Steve in any of our future calls, and be sure to check out Steve's website, which I will link to below. Steve, great chatting with you again. We'll chat with you in another couple weeks.
You bet. Thanks, guys.